Everybody on this beautiful day for a change. It's not 90 degrees, 80 degrees, whatever it's been. Seems like the humidity is down a little bit, so it's very comfortable. This would be a good day to have the picnic, wouldn't it? Oh, well. It's like whenever you want to take vacation, you know, you have to tell your employer weeks ahead of time, and then you just hope that it works out. A few announcements as we begin today. First of all, on that first page, you'll notice under 11th Sunday after Pentecost, True Nourishment Sunday. I don't pay a lot of attention to those designations of special Sundays, but I thought since we're having communion today, it's an appropriate title. So I included that. Next Sunday is our church picnic at 11, followed by a potluck. I'm sure that's all getting arranged, but just a confession here. Last year, we ran out of entree, I guess it was. Well, it was partly because of me, because I forgot to bring my entree last year. So this year I'm going to make up for it and remember to bring the entree. And I'm sure you've all got desserts figured out and everything else as well. So that should be a good day. We'll just trust the Lord for good weather, but if not, we can go inside and we can fellowship there as well. We're undergoing some repairs at the parsonage. We found a leak in the outgoing pipes, and it's sort of become quite a project. So they were here on Friday and Saturday, or Thursday and Friday. Anyway, a couple days this week, and they're not finished yet because they've got to dodge some unusual things to get that project done. But as Julie said, good to find it out now before we have renters in there. Darlene is now at home hospice. Steve moved into Edgewood Vista this week, I think on Tuesday. And then a correction. It seems like this is a weekly announcement for me. A correction. Under coming events, as you noticed, the ladies' lunch has been rescheduled to Tuesday, August 13th, and it will be at the Little Gourmet Deli per usual. But I'm sure all you ladies knew that. So I'll correct that for next week as well. Highlight an announcement. School supplies are now on sale, so now is the time to get them at significantly reduced cost. And Bernie added some suggestions, which I like. I always like suggestions because I don't know always what to get. Some suggestions in there for you. Any announcements I forgot? Okay, the word says, forsake not your gathering together, and even more so as the times grow short, so we are gathering together today to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to fellowship together. So would you stand with me and let's begin with the call to worship. I will utter things hidden from of old, things we have heard and known, things our fathers have told us. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. He commanded our forefathers to teach their children. Even the children yet to be born. And they then they would put their trust in God. Hymn number 85. Together. Father, once again, we come before you with grateful hearts for all of your goodness beyond our imaginations. You have been good to us and have blessed us. We come before you, Lord Jesus, because you are near to the heart of God and you have brought the heart of our Father to us. And we thank you and praise you for your great sacrifice, for your exceeding love for your Father to fulfill his request of you, and your obedience to our Father in completing the mission of redemption. And so, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we acknowledge, recognize, praise, and exalt you this morning, and we can do that through that name, the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from Psalms 51, verses 1 through 12. It's on page 430. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out all my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Our second reading is from John 6, 24 through 35, page 814 in your pew Bibles. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum to search for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then do you give that you may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty."
Thank you, Barb. Time for giving our tithes and offerings, and just a reminder, two things. We believe that the Lord will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Number two, that we believe here in this fellowship that God loves a cheerful giver. So once again, the announcement, as you're giving, give what the Lord has laid on your heart and give it cheerfully so you can get your reward from God himself for being a cheerful giver. Julie, would you come forward? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for all that you give to us. We return to you a token of our appreciation. Nothing to compare with all that you've given to us, all that you've done for us. But we give it to you cheerfully, gratefully, and ask that you would use it so that you can minister to your people and reach others in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Would you stand with me and let's sing the doxology together, where we praise God from whom all blessings flow. Thank you. You may be seated. I was reminded this week, I think it was Dr. Jeremiah that reminded me that as the days go on, and he was talking about how churches all over the country, even larger churches, are diminishing in size. Some of the mega churches, I think, are still growing. But was reminded this week that in the end times, things are going to get difficult. And I'd mentioned last week, one of the events now a week and a half ago, that a new 501c3 nonprofit has been formed, specifically to target moving evangelicals from their belief system to the social belief system in our country. And that is their job. They're not directly politically aligned with anyone. They just want to get us off of the Bible standard. So be cautious, be careful. Keep your eyes and your ears alert. So let's pray together. Father, we bring to you this morning friends of ours who are specifically in need of your help and care. We think of Roger, Mark, John, and Sarah, as well as Bernie, Elizabeth, and Jennifer. I still think of Brian and Julie, Aaron and Lucas. And this week, reminded of Steve and Linda, Darlene and Sid. We continue to remember Ed and Brad during their hopeful recovery times. I was reminded again this week, Father, of Terry, Kate, and Zach, who are in need of your help as well. Our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from the beginning, we've continued to pray for these folks, our brothers and sisters, because of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for the saints. Their faith and love spring from that hope that is stored in them, that hope of heaven, the word of truth, the gospel that has come to them as well as to us. We thank you, Father, that all over this world, the good news, the gospel, is producing fruit and growing, just as it has been among them and among us since the day we heard it and understood and took hold of your grace in all its truth. For this reason, we have not stopped praying for them and asking you, Father, to fill them, along with us, with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that we may all live a life worthy of you, and that we may please you in every way. That is our heart's desire. We pray that together with them, we may bear fruit in every good work, grow in the knowledge of you, and be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, because we know that without you, we can do nothing. We pray that we may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified us. You have chosen us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. We thank you that you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son you love, this Son in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. We always remember also our missionaries, people who are working in the field, folks down at camp who are ministering the word almost on a daily basis to young people, folks in the mission field who are working on projects as well as teaching the word. We thank you for these believers as we remember them in our prayers, because we have heard about their faith, we've heard about their love for the saints, believers. We pray that you will assist them in actively sharing their faith so that they too may obtain a full understanding of everything available to them in Christ our Messiah. Their love and hearing about their stories give us great joy and encouragement, because it refreshes the hearts of the saints, including our hearts as well. Other matters that are on our heart, Father, we commit to you, thanking you that once again you have given us this day that we might rejoice in you. And we're grateful that we can come to you, Father, through your Son, who has made it possible, that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. If you turn with me to hymn number 331 in preparation for our time of communion. Thank you. It is my desire for a while, every time we have communion, to base the message on that sacrament. I grew up Lutheran, as I've mentioned before. I don't remember how often we had communion in the Lutheran Church. I'm assuming it was once a month. But I remember how ritualistic it was, and it seemed like it was easy just to take it for granted, not put any meaning into it. I don't know if that was true for everybody, but I was a altar boy, and so I had my things I had to do. So I was paying attention to that more than anything else that was happening around me. The Covenant Church only has two sacraments. The Lord's Supper is one, and baptism in water is the other one. And so we take it, I think, more seriously, if you will. And so what I want to do for the next several months, today and for the next several months, and yes, I did it last month as well, is to spend some time on focusing on the Lord's Supper. And you notice the title, The Last Supper, Remember, Feast. The Last Supper is past. Remembering is where we are now. And the feast is in the future. So let's start with the story. And we all probably read children's books to our children. So let's start. Once upon a time, 2,000 years ago, 12 men reclined around a table, and some of you know they didn't sit in chairs. That picture of the Lord's Supper is not accurate. They laid down on one side, propped themselves up on an elbow, and that's how they ate. I thought that would kind of be uncomfortable, but honestly, that's about all they had, unless you were very, very wealthy and could afford tables and chairs. These 12 men reclined around a table focused on their leader, who was celebrating with them the Passover that year. We believe that to be about 33 AD. And he celebrated with them. Yes, even Judas celebrated the Passover, the Last Supper, with Jesus. A few years later, a persecutor of the Christian church was on a mission to Damascus to imprison more Christians, probably to kill more Christians, murder them, torture them, put them in the hands of people who would do that. And he had an encounter on the road to Damascus. Paul, he had not attended the Last Supper. He was probably persecuting followers of Jesus at the time. At least that's what we surmise from the stoning of Stephen, when a man named Saul was holding the cloaks of those who were stoning Stephen to death. So Paul hadn't been in that room for the Last Supper. And yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says these words, "What I received from the Lord, I deliver to you, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." And after supper, he took the cup, and he said to his disciples, "Take, share this with you. This is the blood of the New Testament," remembering back to last week, that what was accomplished through Jesus was not a covenant. The Greek word, even though our translations say covenant, the Greek word is testament, which is a form of a covenant. But as I mentioned last week, this was Jesus' last will and testament. And we all know what wills are. And from his death, Jesus gave to anyone who would come. And so we are here today because we took of that offer. We decided to accept that offer. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul also adds a couple of cautions. The first is to eat worthily. When we get together to remember Jesus through the Last Supper, to eat worthily. And he has specific words related to what that means. And that is the words, the body. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is remembering the body of Jesus, the sacrifice. But Paul intimates or hints that it's more than that. When we come together as believers, and to me in the Covenant Church, this is so easy to do because we sort of sit in the middle. I contact some folks who are extremely conservative, legalistic. I contact some folks who are extremely unbounded. I remember attending one church with a friend of mine, and Pentecostal, charismatic sort of church, and for about 40 minutes in that service, there were a variety of people speaking in tongues. And I just thought, that needs a little bit more order, I think. So I've come in contact with a lot of different people. I've come in contact with people who are very sacramental Catholics and Lutherans. And in the Covenant Church, I kind of envision that we are just sitting sort of in the middle. And we believe that we accept anyone who confesses Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We take them at their word. We don't judge because we can't judge. We take them at their word, and then we accept them, fellowship with them, and of course, watch them, observe, and I'm sure they're observing us too. But it's just such a delightful place to be in, is right in the middle, where if somebody says, "I love Jesus," then I can fellowship with that person and leave the judgment to God. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I believe that's one of the things that Paul is encouraging us to do, to celebrate it not just with us here, but we are celebrating it with all true believers all over the world this week. The second admonition that Paul says is, when you come together, wait. And so we do that here. We symbolically do that. When the elements are passed around, we wait until everybody is served. And then we share together. Of course, that's not specifically what Paul was talking about. What Paul was talking about was chaos. The folks at that time would just come in and grab the food and the wine and eat and then be on their way. And it sort of got to be, they were planning, we're not going out for lunch this afternoon. We're just going to go over there and we're going to eat. So we don't have to buy lunch today. And Paul was saying to them, that's not what it's for. It's not just having lunch. And so he adds, if you're hungry, eat before. And then come together because this is an important celebration, an important sacrament. Well, the disciples and Paul, the Lord's Supper event is all in the past. And as I mentioned before, we're sort of in between. How many of you have seen the Kit Kat commercial? Kit Kat commercial, talking to people, and the lady asks the guy, what do you like about the Kit Kat? I love the Kit Kat. Well, do you like the wafers on the outside? No. Do you like the wafers on the inside? I don't even know what Kit Kat is made of, to be honest with you. No, I like the stuff between. Oh, the in-between stuff. And that's where we're stuck. We're stuck in the in-between. The Lord's Supper and the future. So, question. We're coming here today to remember. So what do you remember? In John chapter 20, verse 29, then Jesus told them, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We're in between. None of us have seen the Lord. We're like Paul. None of us were at the Lord's Supper. So why are we here? And if you read some of the stuff online and Facebook and all that kind of crazy stuff and watch some of the stuff that's on the news, you know what people are saying? Those Christians are nuts. They haven't seen any. They have no proof of what they believe in. They're just lunatics, religious fanatics. What Jesus is saying is the opposite. We're blessed because we haven't seen and yet we believe. How many are thankful for this book? This book translates to us the events of God in the Old Testament, of Jesus in the Gospels, and of the message of Jesus going out into the world in the epistles and the book of Revelation. Do you wonder where we would be today if we didn't have this book? Isn't it amazing? I don't think we spend enough time talking about, and we'll look at that in the fall in Sunday school, the history of how this book got to us. I don't think we spend enough time realizing that this book is in itself a miracle just to get to us. And the miracle of what's written in these pages. And all the efforts that translators have gone to make it more and more accurate as the years have gone by. So we remember the history of God from the book of God. We remember that Jesus said, and Barb read some of this today, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the light of the world. I am the door. Jesus is the Redeemer, the Savior, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Jesus is the Word of God. So we remember, or perhaps you remember, I do, quite frequently, that one day, that day when you gave your life to Jesus, that day transformed our lives, transformed our future, transformed our joy, our sorrow, our defeats, our victories. That one day was the hinge of our entire life, just in the same way that Jesus' death and resurrection was the hinge for all eternity. So maybe you remember that one day as we come to share communion together. But I want us today to remember just one more thing. Not a past event, but a prophecy, a promise, a peace, a hope. Matthew 26, verse 29. Still getting used to my trifocals. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And over in Mark 14, verse 25, truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. That day for us when we accepted Jesus is connected to that day when we will drink it anew. So I'd like to read that passage. There's not a lot of description about the marriage feast of the Lamb. It's mentioned. I'd like to read for you the passage from Revelation chapter 19, starting at verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, a roar of a great multitude shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and you who fear him, both great and small. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. The invitation to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we know, we've studied it before, you've read it before in Matthew chapter 22, the parable that Jesus told, and I believe it is a parable related to the wedding supper of the Lamb, about how this guy was going to put on a big feast, and he sent out invitations, and pretty much nobody came. And so he told his servants, go out and check in with them and see if they won't come to the feast. And they came back discouraged, just no success. And so this man said, go out and see who you can find on the streets. And they went out and found a handful of people. And the guy said, that's not good enough, because I want this hall filled with people. Go out, and this is the word used, and compel them to come in, so that my hall is filled with guests. I struggle with that compelled thing, but I certainly have felt it as an evangelist pleading for people to accept the invitation. And just kind of as a side note, I think this helps us understand a little bit why the delay. God wants his wedding hall for his son filled. And perhaps we're in the last days when that compulsion is happening. I kind of think it relates to the 144,000 preachers in the Great Tribulation, go out and compel them to come in. I kind of sort of secretly, this is Mike's aberrant theology. I kind of think that those 144,000 are just going to explode across the world because an event has taken place where millions of people have evaporated from the earth. And people are going, what's going on? And of course, at that point, this is Mike's aberrant theology. Aberrant, well, it isn't theology, but aberrant nonetheless, is they'll have two choices at that time. They could believe what we've been telling them for hundreds of years, or they could believe what? Alien abduction. Big choice. Choice that they have. And I'm sure people will be taking both choices. This is the invitation that I give to you this morning. Come and share together the remembrance of this future event the wedding feast of Jesus with us. And by the way, there's three places in Scripture that indicate, including that passage I just referred to, the parable, that indicate that Jesus will serve us at that wedding feast. Totally backwards, isn't it? Just hard for me to grasp. Hard for me to grasp that at that Last Supper, he washed his disciples' feet. But there's at least four passages that refer to Jesus serving us. Let's remember that today. Connect it with the Lord's Supper. This is the preview of coming attractions. Julie, would you come forward, please? And because we're in this together, we are now together. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, in the night you were betrayed, you said, "Remember me. Do this as oft as you drink it. Do this as oft as you eat it to remember me." We remember you. We remember that day when you became our Lord. And today we are remembering that day when we will celebrate with you in person at the great feast that you will provide for us. And so we seal this time and our hearts to you in your name, Jesus. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." And eat. After the same manner, at the end of the supper, there were four times during the Passover, at least my memory, I hope that's right, that they drank wine. And it says after supper, some people believe that this was the fourth. When I read it, I believe it was after the Passover was done. Jesus said, "Take and drink. This is the New Testament, the new will in my blood for you." Precious blood spilt on that ground at Golgotha changed the world forever, changed eternity forever, and changed us. And so we remember that day when we gave you our lives. And in celebration, we remember that day when we will be with you in heaven to seal the whole thing at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We thank you because you're the one who did it. Amen. Take and drink. Turn with me to hymn number 83, and we will conclude with a hymn that will remind us of that day. Thank you. Would you stand with me? And instead of singing the blessing today, since we don't have in our little music box there the melody, let's just say it together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Have a good day. Enjoy this nice weather.